Hello, hello, hello. What's happening? What's up? Welcome back, everybody, to another episode of the LeVar Walker Show. I want to thank each and everybody that tuned in last week, and we're back again this week. That first episode of me doing this audio and video and everything I got going on, it was a little rough, I'm sure. I was trying to sync the sound up, but that was a little off, so that video probably looked like I was doing a kung fu movie video. But hey, you know, I'm a one-man show, and this is my first time really editing audio and video. So I'm back again, and I'm going to grow this thing right in front of everybody, man. You know, I'm building straight from ground zero, and I'm going to get it right. And that's how I learn. You learn by failure. So really, it's no such thing as failure. It's just you learn as you go. And today's episode is brought to us by the beautiful Jordan 1 Shattered Backboard, or the beautiful shoe. I love Jordan 1s, but this shoe means a lot to me. This is when Michael Jordan busted the backboard, and it's just a cool shoe with the nice leather upper, the little crinkly leather. It's a fly shoe. You can wear this with anything. You know, some dark denims, light denims, white tee, it doesn't matter. So what's going on? Let me tell you. So yesterday, you know, I haven't been on stage as a comedian since March. And yesterday I went to a funeral. I found out a good friend of mine died. A man by the name of the great Bob Lett. Bob Lett died at 84 years of age. And me and him became friends through working in the pharmacy. He was just an old black man. And when I first met him, he used to get on my nerves. He was an asshole. And we just ended up getting cool. And I had the pleasure of knowing the great Bob Lett over 10 years. And we would just talk shit to each other. Because this how old niggas, you know, they love you to talk shit to them. And we just had a great time. And it was a wonderful experience knowing him. And I didn't even know he was dead, because he ended up dying July 2nd. And I hadn't talked to him for a few months because Bob Lett would get on my fucking nerves, and I just didn't feel like talking to him. And I'm an asshole from time to time as well. But I had no idea he died. My wife ended up showing me he passed through Facebook. And Bob Lett died July 2nd. I was like, oh my God. It just so happened that I learned about his death one day before the funeral, which was crazy. So I didn't even know the funeral was coming that next day. So I got that alert at work. My wife told me, I said, damn, he gone. And that was July 2nd, he was dead. That was on Thursday. I had to work Friday. But it turned out the shift I was working got canceled. So I ended up being off on Friday. And I'm sitting downstairs, and my wife tells me, she says, Bob Lett's funeral is today. I said, what? It's today? At 1 o'clock. It was that day. And I'm doing absolutely nothing. I said, I have to go to his funeral. And what I'm thinking is, this goddamn Bob Lett called me to come to his funeral. There's no other way. I didn't even know he was dead. I found out he was dead. I tried to call his son and his kids. I called his son. His son didn't recognize my number, so his son didn't hit me back. And everything just happened the way it was supposed to happen. So as I'm getting ready, I can hear him talking to me. Ah, bitch, put your fucking clothes on, motherfucker. This is how we would talk to each other. Put your fucking clothes on. I'm dead, bitch. Come to my funeral. I hear him in my head. So I go to the funeral. When I get to the funeral, I see his daughter, who I had never met before. It was my first time meeting his daughter. His daughter has a box in her hands. And, you know, I'm like, man, it was a pleasure meeting your dad. He was a great man. Is that... As he said, well, here's daddy right here. I said, yo, we in the box. So he got cremated. So I said, this motherfucker greeted me at his own goddamn funeral. This was some supernatural shit, y'all. So I'm at the funeral. It's a very small, intimate funeral. And everybody's going up to speak. And I say, Bob Lett wants me to tell jokes at this goddamn funeral. And he said, bitch, go up there and tell some fucking jokes. And I told the fan, I said, I want to speak. And I got up there and I roasted the shit out of Bob Lett. And I told jokes about Bob Lett. And we just had, it was just such an amazing feeling. Everybody was laughing. I got to act him out. And man, it just felt so wonderful to be able to do that. And I really felt something supernatural. So shout out to you, Bob. I know I'm starting my podcast off talking about you. So shout out to Bob Lett, the great big bad motherfucking Bob Lett, R.I.P. And yes, I am friends, because Bob Lett would come to the pharmacy. A lot of other old men would come to the pharmacy, and I'm cool with old men. I got an old spirit, when I was born, my grandmama was like 60, 70 years old. She would keep me, and I just have an old soul. And all these old men would come, and I'd still talk to them. I didn't see a couple of them at the funeral, but it was just amazing to be able to do that. People were laughing. I felt like a fish to water. But when I sat down at the funeral, and I'm looking at people talking to the mic, I was like, oh, shit. I had the mic close to my mouth, and I'm thinking about COVID. I'm like, fuck, man. So I'm sitting there thinking like, man, my throat was a little itchy. And when your throat itch right now, you get scared as hell. You like, shit, man, I think I got this shit. I'm looking around like, God damn it, why did I put that mic? So I felt just a little bit uneasy in the moment, and I see everybody else getting up talking in the mic. But it was just great to be there, and it was a wonderful, wonderful experience. And this week, we have lost a couple of people. We lost the great John Lewis, and no diss to John Lewis, but I thought John Lewis had already died, but that was another congressman who looked exactly like John Lewis, so I'm sorry for thinking that John Lewis was already dead. But John Lewis was a great civil rights hero. I met him a couple times. He came to a couple pharmacies I was working at. Very nice gentleman. Rest in peace to John Lewis for doing what you did. And also rest in peace to C.T. Vivian, one of our great civil rights heroes who died at the age of 95 years of age. And, there shouldn't have been a wet eye at that funeral. When you die at 95, I don't believe anybody should be crying. Like, it was time. It was time. And even at Bob Lett's funeral, he was 84 years old. And it was just it was really a celebration of life. And that's a blessing to live such a long and full life like that. So we lost those people. And in the meantime, I read that Tamar Braxton, who is the sister of Toni Braxton and on family, Braxton Family Values, had a suicide attempt, which was interesting. And in that suicide attempt, she left a note saying that she doesn't own her life, she doesn't own her thoughts, she doesn't own anything. And fortunately, she did not, it wasn't a successful suicide attempt. She survived, but she ended up ingesting a lot of some wine and some type of pills. And I thank God she is alive, and mental health is real. I hope she gets some counseling that she needs and some love that she needs. But I'm gonna say this, she's on that reality TV show on Bravo, and I don't know, man, a lot of these reality shows, if you don't own them, I think you could be selling your soul to the devil in a sense. And I'm not trying to be judgmental, but when you tie yourself into those contracts, I don't know the stipulations in a lot of them. I do have one of my close friends, they appear on reality shows sometimes, but I think you could be signing a contract with the devil. Based off what she was saying and the text that was sent out to her family, I think it's just you signing your life away. You got to be careful. So to any celebrities or entertainers, do your own reality show. Own that shit. There's no reason to, you know, just sign this shit away. And hopefully you're not in some type of financial straits or circumstances to cause you to sign that over, because that's very invasive, man. It's like people own your ass, people judging you. I mean, it's like literally, I think, like with a lot of those shows, man, and I've heard rumblings, like a lot of these people that are on these reality shows cannot survive without the show. So they're literally owned. And when they're making big purchases and buying homes and shit like that from these reality show checks, when you set that lifestyle at a certain level, you don't want to go down. And that's for anybody. Nobody wants to go down in lifestyle, unfortunately. And that's like an addiction. It's like being addicted to a drug, anything, even me. I want to keep my lifestyle at a certain level by all means. But we got to get some ownership with these shows, man. I was talking to T.I.'s manager. T.I. owns his own show. He owns his show, Family Hustle. Now you got to own this shit. You can't have these people just running your life. So you should be able to edit, you know, what you deem fit, you know. And then that ties back down to debt and financial responsibility and all that shit. But I'm fucked up right now, so I'm no person to judge anybody with financial, that are facing financial issues right now. Another thing too, man, I talked about this on my Instagram. We are so fucking divided as a nation right now. This country is so divided. Everybody's on the right, everybody's on the left. And with us being divided like this as a nation divided is a very, very weak nation. We literally, son, Kristen, close the door. I'm recording. With us being a nation divided, we have our pants down right now. There's too many people too far on the right, too far on the left. Our leadership with Donald Trump in there, everything is a fight. Everything about the Democrats, everything about the Republicans. You can't even turn the news on without seeing even our news outlets, even CNN, even Fox, they're fussing. Everybody's fussing. Everybody's complaining. And for news anchors to show and convey so much emotion and no even keel and so much bias in reporting the news, I mean, it creates a problem. And I know that the problem is bigger because I know these news outlets, they need this revenue. And the only way to generate these dollars is through advertising and getting eyes. But what that has created is turned the news into some type of off version reality show. It's like people are on the news and they're hollering and screaming. And it's ridiculous, man. It's ridiculous. I don't even know what news to watch. The only news I watch is The Shade Room, Media Takeout. And I watch that because nobody's talking. So it's insane. We have a lot of issues in this country, but we really need to come together. In Atlanta right now, Mayor Keisha Lance Bottoms wants to mandate us wearing masks, and she also wants to roll us back, I don't know, to phase one or something like that by closing a lot of restaurants and bars down. However, the governor is against it. He's like, hell no, you're not doing shit and you can't enforce it. And I mean, I think that's ridiculous. Why wouldn't you want to support a health initiative in your state? Because we're still fighting this virus. Deaths are still climbing, even though we got about 3,000 in the state. The infection rate is rising. So why wouldn't you want people to practice wearing a mask, social distancing? The CDC guidelines came out and said if everybody wear a mask for the next 3 months or something, we can defeat this virus. And somehow, the people on the right feel, and listen, I'm not right or left, but the people on the right feel that, nah, you know, fuck that. We're going against all science. We're going against the CDC. They've even had the CDC. How do you have the CDC and the World Health Organization? You have them to stop reporting. People are literally going insane by undermining science. It's science. You can't beat science with politics. This will continuously rise. It will continue to go on. Just like when Trump had people thinking hydroxychloroquine would work for COVID-19. Like that was going to be a miracle cure. A damn anti-malarial. And I'm a pharmacist. We've never used an anti-malarial to treat a damn virus. It doesn't even take a crew of the CDC or the World Health Organization to know that. You can ask any healthcare professional and they would have been able to tell you it doesn't work. And the only thing it would do is probably cause heart arrhythmias for people that use the hydroxychloroquine along with azithromycin, which is what he was prescribing somehow. How do you have a reality show host, a man that works in the hotel and entertainment business, tell us as Americans what's more healthy for us? How do we disregard Dr. Fauci, the World Health Organization, and the CDC? It makes absolutely no sense. And now we're to the point now the kids are supposed to go back to school. Do we not know that this shit is still going on? You just send them back to school? And I know a lot of kids do not have the disease, but is anybody taking into account the teachers, the staff, the janitor, the lunch lady, these older elderly people that have been working around these children? Does anybody care about their well-being? You want to kill them for the sake of saying the economy or some money? I think we went wrong with this whole COVID-19 thing with the lockdowns. Like, I believe we should have locked down. I believe we should have followed the lead of other countries who were already dealing with this and talked to those countries, because you have to unite. We all, because at the end of the day, not only are we one nation, but we are one species as humans. And we all are subject to this disease. It don't care if you're black, white, Chinese. It don't give a fuck what color, race, a religion, a political party you are. So we all need to come together. We're one species. Put our hands together. Fight. Work with each other. That's very, very important. You can't just say, oh. And there's a lot of these redneck motherfuckers that believe somehow, well, I don't believe in COVID. Fuck COVID. It doesn't exist, so I ain't wearing a mask. And your people are getting sick. And you wonder why. You don't want to put the mask on, the grandmama died or something. Like, it's ridiculous. We the most powerful nation on earth, but we are acting like, going to Rome. We the most powerful nation on earth, but we are literally, we're acting like 6-year-olds. But that comes from our leadership. So you can't walk around here without the mask. And furthermore, you're wearing the mask to protect other people. It's just being humane. I'm going to put my mask on because, number one, I don't know if I'm asymptomatic. And number two, I don't want to kill anybody's grandmama, auntie, or uncle. So I'm going to continue to go by these guidelines of social distance until we come up with a cure. You can't just look at it as money, because this is what's happening. And I'm going to talk about this from a financial standpoint. What's going on is, from a financial standpoint, you know, you want to get back to work, you want to get the money back. So what happened was, since we didn't have any proper planning and proper preparation, you know what I'm saying, which is what the 5 P's, proper preparation prevents poor performance. That's a whole nother thing. So we didn't have any of that going on. So we're only reacting. And when you react to situations, they can be disastrous. So with the federal government just printing money, printing trillions of dollars, print, running this printing press, it's lowered the value of our money. And probably in the middle of next year, we're going to hit record high inflation. That's what's going to happen. We're going to hit record high inflation if they don't raise the interest rates. You got all this cheap money floating around. And I believe that the whole economy is in a bubble. We're in a bubble, including the stock market. But if we were to shut down and just take control of everything that's going on, we could have been out of this by now. This is damn near a whole year that's gone. It's over. So when we talk about these kids going back to school, we've decided not to send our child back to school. I mean, they're going to be doing Zoom classes or whatever, which is cool. So a lot of people in this state of Georgia have said schools will be virtual. They'll be online and they're just going to do Zooms, which is great, because we were not about to send our baby to die. Because even if you have, like, I don't know the lady's name that's over the school system. I don't even know what her name is. Betsy DeVos said only 1% of the kids are going to die. I'm like, yo, we got fucking vampires in the White House for leadership. 1%? What mama want to roll the dice on 1%? Who want to do that? It is crazy to me. It's crazy. So on my site, I was talking about, not on my site, but on my Instagram, I had mentioned the killings of our children. Black on black crime, which is a taboo subject. And I don't know, sometimes people want to view you as a coon for some reason if you express what's going on in the community as far as us killing one another. Now, before I go any deeper into this topic, understand that the definition of a coon is a person that carries out the worst characteristics of their own race. So if you, like, you know, if I'm sitting up here with gold teeth and I'm looking crazy and I'm just non-educated and just being, you know, like just being the lowest common denominator, that's a fucking coon. So we know who the coons are. But in regards to us killing us, I mentioned that, listen, I'm for Black Lives Matter as a notion, which is saying my life matters, life of my child, life of, you know, but we need to address these issues in the community, and we need to have some fucking accountability. Like, all I'm asking is for BLM to just bring awareness. That's it. Just bring awareness. Like, say, hey, let's stop killing these babies. My mama doing, the kids doing TikTok videos with their mama, they shouldn't be getting shot down like dogs. That's all I'm saying. I'm going to leave it on that because I don't want to get too heavy. And another thing, why do people want to defund the police? I don't understand it. Well, I get it. They want defunding the police is about not necessarily getting rid of police, but they're moving funding. And I just think that wording is off. I just think we need to reallocate the assets of police officers within the department. But I don't think you want to take the money away. I think they need to invest more of that money in proper training for police officers so they can, you know, they can use more preventative measures before they execute niggas in the street. You know what I mean? So you train them. They don't have any fucking training. You know, you just sending some fat fuck out with a badge and a gun. He's scared for his life and he pulls the trigger. Well, if they was probably spend, I don't know, 10 or 12 hours a day just getting some actual combat hand-to-hand training, maybe we could save more lives. But At the same time, we cannot get rid of the fucking police. Are you fucking kidding me? I don't even know how people feel like, man, we need to be less police. No, the fuck it don't. No, it don't. You need some motherfucking cops out here in the world. I don't know why we feel like that shit in our communities. You just think it's going to be heaven in the fucking community? Like, people just be saying, oh, it's all good. Fuckers be knocking your goddamn head off. Robberies, shootings, killings. I just saw something where the rapper Mano, the guy that slashed him in his face, they let this nigga out of jail in New York where they trying to get the police to be nice and not do shit and the police getting beat up and shit. Man, this nigga shot and killed, dressed up like a woman, jumped out of a van, shot and killed two people, broad daylight. You never heard about that type of shit in New York. You gotta have the cops. I don't like a lot of this shit. It's bad cops and shit. I don't like a lot of this shit they doing. But listen, you gotta have some goddamn cops. There gotta be some law and order in the world. Unless you want total fucking chaos. Is that what you want? Total chaos? So it gotta be something. We need something. Because at the end of the day, if you don't have the police, who you gonna call? Little Tony in your neighborhood when there's an issue? You're going to have to call little Tony to come help when niggas kicking the door in or robbing your ass or whoever. And when I use nigga, I use the term nigga for every race and group of people. So that if niggas kicking the door in and rob, you call little Tony going to want something every time. And not only is little Tony going to want something, little Tony is going to be sending the niggas over there to kick your goddamn door in when you don't pay him. So then we go into extortion. Then we turn into fucking Rwanda. That's what happens. So we got to get these fucking cops training. They need to have more accountability in regards to taking the life. You know what I'm saying? If it was clearly necessary, cool. But we need more accountability. And furthermore, with cops killing us versus the black on black crimes, I understand this, right? We lost 16 brothers last year to police. Killing black men. We lost 16. And at the same time, we lost over 6,000 that were killed by us. So that's a goddamn issue that needs to be addressed. I don't claim to be the smartest man in the world, but goddamn. Come on. I mean, 16 versus 6,000. And trust me, we definitely need to get these cops in line, but yo. Accountability is key. I'm going to stand on that. So you can put the coon shit on my page. I give less than a fuck. All right. Another thing too. Nick Cannon has had a rough. That brother done had a rough ass week, man. Nick done had a rough week. So Nick made some statements in regard. I don't know if he's speaking biblically or from 5%, but the statement that Nick made in regards to people with less melanin in their skin being somehow like more like animals, there was a ridiculous fucking statement. I'm just going to say that. That was a ridiculous statement. I've met Nick Cannon a couple times. He's a cool dude, but I just think he fucked up. He fucked up. And he got to take accountability for that shit. Like, at the end of the day. Because you can't. Like, when you say, here's the thing that can debunk all that, right? So you say less melanated people are more savage-like. Do you fail to realize that there are black people white as snow? They're called albinos? But that's a whole nother time. Don't get me started with this shit. So, Nick has been having a rough week, and I don't know, just a bad move. I'm sure he'll learn from it and move on and continue to build huge empires like I'm trying to do each week right here on LeVar Walker Show. And make sure you click that link. Get some of that merch, man. Get some of that merch. That merch hot. You feel me? Okay. So Meg Thee Stallion was shot in the foot by Tory Lanez. Apparently, they got into an argument. Tory Lanez was fumbling with a gun and shot her in the foot. So his little man complex flared up. Tory Lanez, like about 5'1.5", 126 pounds. He might be 127 with that fake ass hair on top of his head. But he ended up shooting her. And I just don't know where you niggas come up. What are y'all doing? What are you young boys doing, man? You don't shoot the ladies in the damn foot. Like, why, bro? Why would you do that shit? That's so damn stupid, man. That's so stupid. What, you want to keep her there? You didn't want her to run off? Dude, come on, man. Come on. So that was like a horrendous thing that happened to Meg Thee Stallion. Prayers up to Meg Thee Stallion, too. And I hope that foot gets better. And so, I don't know, but I'm going to see what else is going on in the world before I wrap this up. But this should get better. And, you know, hopefully it will get better. No, I'm not going to say hopefully. This will get better. Because I'm going to the top. You hear me? I don't even know where that came from. Well, that's it. I don't have shit else to talk about. I'm glad I got to come in here and talk to you guys, but I appreciate the love. Hey, make sure you hit the like button and subscribe if you like this podcast, and also check out that merch. And thank you guys for tuning in. This has been another episode of the LeVar Walker Show, and I will see you next Wednesday at 9 a.m., the LeVar Walker Show. I'm out.